Hello, everybody. We're back. And as we used to say, it was quarter three, right?
Right.
That's kind of how we used to do it.
That's how we used to do it.
Exactly. It's the battle for the ages. Two titans in the ring. Who will emerge victorious? We're not talking about a heavyweight fight, but something much simpler. Or is it? Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. This episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. We are Away. We create wonderful universal pieces that reflect your personal travel style and make every trip more seamless, and especially this holiday season. In a season of giving, you can give a gift of Away. Right, Jimmy?
You can give it all year long.
All year long. For a discount, you can also enter promo code CLNS. So this heavyweight fight that we were discussing, again, not two boxers in the ring, although... Yeah, it could be, right?
Well, we're talking about two giants in the media.
Right. We're talking about the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Which, last time I checked, were newspaper-based print media.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But that's not where the big coin is being made these days.
No, it isn't, is it, Dan? Why don't you tell us where it is being made?
It's being made online. It's digital subscribers.
Right.
And it's amazing. So we know at the Washington Post, it was bought by Bezos, who is the guy behind Amazon. It is not owned by Amazon, but it's the guy who owns Amazon who is behind the paper. We've seen a number of different cases of, you know, well-known wealthy individuals buying up newspapers. There have been some suspicions, some concerns about what that could do to the purity of a newspaper, organization. In this particular case, it seems like it's helped it. It is healthier than ever before when it comes, when we're talking about the online subscriptions. New York Times as well. And they are fueling the success of each other through, through competition. I mean, it's amazing to see what has been happening there.
Right. And this is the David Baquet. Is he the editor of
Baquet.
He is the
executive editor of the New York Times.
Okay. Great quote. Mm-hmm. But competition is the least examined motivation in American journalism. I find that interesting because we both have been in the trenches in commercial media.
Yes.
You are always looking and monitoring what the other guy is doing.
It's the reason you have all those monitors in the newsroom.
Right, to keep an eye on what everybody... Hey, they're leading with that. Do we have that story? How can we miss that story?
Yeah.
Let's have a meeting.
Yeah, where's that element?
That's right.
You didn't have that element in your
piece. So it's really interesting to me. It's the least examined part of American journalism, which I'm like trying to wrap my hands around it. Of course, they're all competitive, though. And we're competing. You're competing for the viewership. You're competing for the audience. And there's pressure to break a story, to get that exclusive soundbite that gets someone to say something they've never said before.
Right.
This is what drives a lot of the motivation of a journalist, is to dig and dig and dig and advance that story and get more and more backgrounds on the whys and the hows of what a story is about.
No, it really is. And we're seeing that now. And we're discussing this because there was an interesting article in Vanity Fair. And it kind of laid out. I love, by the way, that you read
Vanity Fair.
Well, it's...
Well, you were at a doctor's office recently, Dan. Is that
what
you picked it up?
What I like about
Vanity
Fair...
Are you a subscriber?
No, I don't subscribe. But I think what I like about their writes is that... by writes, I mean the write-ups that they do, is that they're extensive. And they let pieces breathe. They give you a little bit more context than you might find in a typical news piece. And so they really went into some of the nuance of this competition between the New York Times and the Washington Post. Of course, the Washington Post with the tagline, "Democracy Dies in Darkness." And this one was framed more of, it's not just sort of two competitors fueling the success of each other, but two competitors who happen to be on the receiving side of President Trump's barbs.
The enemy.
Right. And so all of it collectively is helping to drive traffic to these publications. But what I did find fascinating as they were laying out making this case in this article is that it went right down to sort of specific instances where, for example, the New York Times has, an interview or some little breaking news that they're all excited about and they're about ready to go with it and they're about, going to release it. And just about the time that goes out, it's as if, the Washington Post has also been listening in on what they're doing because they counter with something else that is either equally as big or even beyond what they just reported. And it's almost as if one can't really one up the other for too long because the minute one comes out with something, the other one's going to come out with something much juicier.
Right. You know why that is.
And why is that?
Because the Post gave the Times all these Amazon Echoes for the holiday and they're listening in to the other newsroom. So they know what's going to happen.
Very good. And as soon as they pick up a tip that something's going down, they tell the reporters, no time off until you come up with something. No, and some of these reporters have actually gone across the street, right? The former New York Times people working at the Washington Post and the other way around.
What I found most interesting, I love the numbers. I think everybody recognizes the fact that the print industry and the newspaper industry is taking quite a hit in media over the last 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. But the readership and who they are actually reaching now, monthly page views are at $1.5 billion.
No.
1.5 billion people.
People, yeah.
And this is New York Times. The Times today has 1,350 editorial employees, and monthly page views are about 1.5 billion. They have a staff that's 600 more than the Washington Post.
Wow.
So,
but here's the thing about the Washington Post, and this was fascinating. When Bezos took over, one of the things that he did was he took the programmer engineer types, mm-hmm. Who otherwise, as you know, Jimmy, you rarely see them or saw them in newsrooms. They were somewhere when stuff didn't work, you called them,
right.
But they weren't anywhere where you could see them.
Right.
In fact, you oftentimes just knew them by name, but probably didn't recognize them. Now they are part of the newsroom. They up the number of folks who can deal with the digital footprint that they have. And they're who are part of the newsroom to help make the digital paper much more vibrant and interactive in real time. And that, in part, is what's driving the success of certainly the Washington Post.
Well, again, it's the 24/7 news cycle that technology has wrought here. They brought this in, and everybody knows it's just always turning. You may check your local. Like, what a shock. I read the Boston Globe sports page every morning.
Oh, you do?
I do. What a shock. And by the way, probably have for as long as I could read. Okay?
Yeah. Since last week.
Pretty much. And
it was such an easy layup. I mean,
I'll let you get away with it because I am wearing a freaking Santa Claus hat.
Well, that's the reason I said that because you look goofy today.
Opposed to how I normally dress.
So he's wearing a Santa. For those of you just
wearing my Santa hat.
He's wearing a Santa hat, and I'm wearing flashing light necklace.
And not just any Santa hat.
The Red Sox.
It's a Red Sox World Series Santa hat.
And we have a Christmas tree with a Star of David at the top.
Love that.
And a fireplace in our monitor.
Yeah. All right. So I've totally lost my.
Yeah, I know. We totally lost the thought.
The way it works sometimes.
But you know what? This is a positive story because, as you were pointing out, the death of newspapers, everyone's been talking about, when will newspapers die? There are a lot of small papers folding.
You could kill the print. You could kill the paper.
Right.
But you can't kill the people that are digging and spending the time on finding out the truth behind stories.
Right.
Great stat in here. It was the Pew Research Center. Of course, it had something to do with name-calling,
yes.
Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives, which I absolutely hate. Okay? We're all people.
Yes.
You have a problem. Anyway, it was Digg's story about 89% of Democrats believe in the importance of the media's watchdog role, while only 42% of Republicans do, according to Pew Research.
Mm-hmm.
It's the widest gap Pew has ever seen. That doesn't surprise me since we've got a guy who's been fueling the differences between people and whatever. In 2016, Democrats and Republicans, by the way, 2016, that was only 2 years ago.
Yeah, that wasn't a long time ago.
And it had, does that have something to do with the fact that we had a presidential election?
It could be.
So essentially, Democrats and Republicans agreed on the role of the press.
Just in 2016.
Correct.
2 years later.
Correct.
It's a divided country.
It was 77% and 74%, and now it's 42%. And look, it's not an easy job.
No.
It's an important job. You can call it a watchdog. You can call it whatever you'd like. We need people to back check things that come out of politicians' mouths all the time.
And even though people might look at these giants, the New York Times, Washington Post, and call them the liberal media, the mainstream media, the left media, whatever it is that they call.
Names. I hate that.
I'm glad that these, I see them, look, they're you can argue about individuals who report for various different organizations, but I think at the heart of it, these are reporters who are going out trying to get the story, and they're trying to get the story right. And I applaud the fact that a little bit of competition is leading to a boom, if you will. Maybe it's too early to say that, but certainly a growth in an industry that has been dying for a long time. And it is dying in some areas, but here it seems very much alive, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned long-form journalism, the Vanity Fair article. I like long-form journalism because it allows you to tell the whole story. When I was teaching this past semester at Dean College, I'll give them a little plug here, we learned about the inverted triangle. Are you familiar with the inverted triangle?
That's when I'm diving into a swimming pool and my legs are the wide part of the triangle and my head is the pointy part. Is that it?
No, you are wrong, Mr. Luthien.
That's what I thought.
No. It is who, what, where, when, how, you know, the facts at the top of the thing.
Yes,
right, you understand that, right?
I do.
And then you have your...
But that visual was
your
just
details
powerful.
Of
me
those
diving
who,
into a pool.
What, where, right, yep.
That's the
and
what,
then
who,
the
what,
background what. Information, you know...
In my head.
And you advance the story from the top of the inverted triangle down to the bottom.
You will never think about the same.
Because you're able to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the story.
Like when I get deeper and deeper into the water after
I
dive in.
There you go.
Yeah.
I am not a diver.
Neither am I, actually. So it's
say.
This is actually a lot funnier
a
because
jumper.
You realize I'm not a diver. I'm
no,
a jumper.
I'm a jumper.
I'm a cannonball kind of guy.
Oh, I believe that.
Yes.
I bet you have the big jackknife splash thing down, too.
I did have that until I got hurt one time. You know what I mean.
I don't want to hear about it.
Yes. If you like this episode.
Wait, one
what?
More thing.
Wait,
one
what?
More thing
what?
About this story.
Yes.
Okay. That I found really, you know, it's in my pink. I've got my pink
yes.
highlighted. Okay.
This is kind of like a freewheeling holiday version.
Have
of
you
the
noticed
podcast.
That? Yeah.
Yes.
And we haven't even shared any eggnog.
No, no.
Not that, you know, I don't even know. Have you had eggnog?
I have had eggnog. I'm not an eggnog kind of guy, though.
I know. You've tasted it.
Yes, I have.
Okay. And
yes.
It didn't have alcohol in it because I know you've had,
yes,
never
no,
had.
No,
you've never had.
No,
which
but
is
it,
an awesome
it was very
thing.
Eggnoggy.
We were talking about Jeff Bezos, right?
Yes.
Isn't he the richest guy in the world?
I think he is, yes. Yes. Although I might be.
He made, yeah. Do you remember when Amazon bought Whole Foods?
Yes.
This year? That was this year, right?
I think so.
He made $2.5 billion.
Yeah, that's only
10 times what he'd paid for the Post in the 2 hours after Amazon took over Whole Foods.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's, as you know, I can make $2 billion that easily. And then I wake up.
Yeah, I was going to say, in your dreams.
In my dream.
All right, that's it.
If you are dreaming about us, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, boy.
We'd like to hear from you.
Are you in trouble?
Use the hashtag BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. Also, let us know about your dreams at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.